Well, thank you, church. And a big good morning to you. It is wonderful to know in these incredible days that he is sovereign and that he is Lord. And I just really am so grateful for that my confidence and my trust is in him in these days. And just a huge welcome, and it's such a surprise for me to see my family here today. They didn't tell me they were coming. But wonderful to see you. But these are incredible days. And I think there's a deepening sense of the presence of God as we gather. And God is preparing the church. And in his preparation of this church, he's causing the church not to be a wisp, but to know what it is to be built up in strength, to know what it is to be strong in our beliefs. And I love that song. What do you truly, truly believe? What is it that truly motivates you? What is it that causes you to get up in the morning and begin to think, I have purpose for today? And it's because of the convictions that the Holy Spirit flows into your heart. And the area that I wanted to really speak about today is that God is preparing an army. And as in the natural, our nations are really, our eyes are all on Israel and Ukraine. But you know, these are days when we can wake up tomorrow and we could be on the verge of World War III. And I just really, I've so often thought of the IDF. And you know, that they are conscripted at the age of 19, 18, they don't have a choice. Will I be in the army or not? No, they are conscripted. And why is it that they have a cutting edge? I believe not only because that they are, God has given them something, but they are trained and they are skilled and they are disciplined and they're prepared for the moment that is ahead. And I truly believe that God wants us as a body to be like that. And as I talk about this, an essence of an army is the importance of connectedness. And I think God, in a very beautiful way, has been addressing that in our services. But as we talk about an army, we need to focus on, well, who is our commando? And I want you just to listen to some scriptures from Psalm 46, which I had been meditating on, and I believe you mentioned in another situation. Listen to who our commando is.
When the nations are in uproar with their tottering kingdoms, God simply raises his voice, and the earth begins to disintegrate before him. Here he comes, the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Everyone look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God, for he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Surrender your anxiety, be still and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us.
Isn't it wonderful? This is our commando. And one of the elements that I wanted to speak about today is something which I believe divine connection is so much on his heart. That was the purpose of the cross. Why did he come? To reconcile us first and foremost back to God the Father. To know, and it's just incredible when you go through the books of Ephesians, go through the book of Colossians. And what has the work of the cross done? It's absolutely broken down every wall that would seek to divide us. Every wall concerning the ethnicity, every wall concerning gender, every wall concerning that which would separate us. God so values connectedness. And I just really pray that God will cause that desire and a hunger to know that, the reality of that and the importance of that as we really, really Willie talk about this today. And, you know, I just love that one in Colossians where he says, he has so released his power so that there is nothing between. Isn't that amazing? Like when I get up in the morning, I can know because of what Christ has done in the cross, there's absolutely no wall between us. I actually have an open heaven over me. And just as I have that in the spiritual, God wants you to have that in our relationships one with the other, particularly as we begin to walk in the truth and the reality and function not as a pathetic little group but as the army of the Lord. Are you a candidate?
Yes.
And I had an article given to me recently, and it was about the cause of rebellion and lawlessness and disconnectedness. And disconnectedness was why there was so much lawlessness. And as you brought out that word, and because of that disconnectedness, there's division, there's isolation, and there's loneliness. And there's wedges that come through disappointments and offences. And I so believe God so values connectedness that he wants to really deal with some of those things. And so when he begins to pray, as he does in the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Oh, let your kingdom come." What's his kingdom like? It's a kingdom of oneness. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of power. And God wants that to be very real in every one of our hearts. John Bevere mentioned this recently. I am concerned about the fallout of believers. And it's interesting, unpredictable things happen to us. Have you found that? If you haven't, I'd love to talk to you. You must be on another planet. But there will be difficulties, and there will be hard times, and there'll be times when things do not work out like you had expected. But, you know, those are the times that God wants you to become stronger. And what do you believe? You're actually faced with a battle. Do I believe what I'm in, or do I believe the word of the Lord? And I think God wants to put us, one of the things about the army, and I'll talk about this a little later, is that we know what it is to have strong convictions. I love that song. What do I truly believe when I'm in the midst of the battle? And who do I truly believe in? But, you know, as there was, it was amazing when John Bevere brought this out. He said, in the States, over 30 million believers have left the church. And I thought, oh my God, COVID was sort of stemmed that. But you know, why was it? Because they didn't value or didn't sense there was a great purpose that the church has in these days. And I have to say to you, regardless of what you feel about church, it's God's idea. It's his idea. And I'm going to talk about what the church should really begin to look like. But, you know, when we see that, and actually there's a lot of people can say, but I love God, but I'm not so sure about the church. Maybe I've been there too. But then you realize, what do I value the most? What has God put his heart on? Somewhere as he looks at us, he is going to bring out something so amazing and so empowering and something that looks like him that even we are going to be amazed. We are a work in progress. Do you agree? Very much a work in progress. But I just really want us to realize, whatever we are in a war. And the enemy would want to isolate us and cause us to feel that we are insignificant. Having been in South Africa with one of my members of my family, we went on several safaris, and you would have seen this on TV. And what does the lion or the leopard, when it wants to make a kill, it sees a herd, but what does it do? It jumps right into the middle of the herd to actually scatter it. And then it looks for those that are alone or the young, and then it begins to go after them and make them their prey. And I just really think that, you know, we need to really know what it is, oh God, to really care for one another. Actually, this scripture in Ephesians 6, it says, be prepared, church. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can, every weapon God has issued, so when it's all over, that you're still on your feet, full of truth, righteousness, peace, and salvation. Learn how to apply them, and you'll need them throughout your life. And then it goes on to say, God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is your essential in this ongoing warfare. Keep hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. And this was something that I just thought was significant. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. No one falls behind or drops out. And I just want to say, I meant to do this at the beginning, to the children. It's wonderful that children are in the service. And I know sometimes you think, oh, it's a long time. But you know, there's a fabulous scripture in Psalm 8, verse 2, I think it is, that God says, even the children, I love this, children rises up with a chorus, strength rises up with a chorus of singing children. This kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. So every child that is here, you are not insignificant. And when you are praising the Lord, can you realize, I just love this, has the power to shut Satan's mouth. And that, so you are already part of an army. And even though you are just beginning, but God wants you, I believe, children to know what it is to have a word of the Lord in their hearts. So when that does come to these kind of battles, we know what it is to not only declare the word of the Lord, but we know we have a revelation of the one who is what we are praising. I think if you actually, when you see the kind of church that God's building, and unbelievable as we see so much evil around us, God's building a church and the gates of hell, church, will not prevail. The gates, and sometimes it looks like we're not on the winning side. But you know, I truly believe that we are, God is opening our eyes to see things we have never ever seen before. And I just really loved what's been coming through in the past 3 weeks. Grant, as you were talking about the importance of building together, and God's not building a brick wall, I thought, well, that was a very graphic illustration. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he was building brick walls? Because that means that we'd all be smooth and we'd all come together very quickly and nothing would be a problem. Oh. But you know, he's building with rocks, and which are so jagged. And, you know, and that's a problem at times. I remember one preacher saying one time, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't need the fruits of the Spirit. How true. When I live alone, I don't need some of those. But, you know, you make me call on God when I need patience. You make me call on God when I don't have any love. You make me call on God when I want to do anything else but be gentle. And, you know, and I just think, oh, God, you are building your church. And it's not just something we quote or we say, but he's literally changing us on the inside. And he wants us to be vitally connected. And then as Richard and Murray and Craig have been sharing, you know, the essence of their message has been connectedness. And the beauty that God is doing with the sons and the fathers is bringing, is restoring relationships. It's restoring connections. It's restoring not only that, but a fellowship. And not only that, he's calling the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to flow into every one of those lives. And not only that, he's causing them to pray. And I just really think that is really quite amazing. And as I go back to that scripture, praying together, becoming stronger together. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open so that no one falls behind or drops out. I would have to say, in my walk with God, I would not have survived without friends. There's been times when when we can lead a charge, but there's times when we need to be carried. And I am just so grateful for people that have been around me and lifetime friends, okay, that I've walked with. And I'm so grateful today that I'm here today because of the value of fellowship and friends. Not only friends who will tell you what you like to hear, but sometimes what sometimes you need to hear. And so I really do feel that this is a time of realignment, and it's actually causes you to be challenged, it causes you to be uncomfortable, but I tell you what God's doing, he is bringing his body together. He's bringing together a partnership. And Paul says, do you know, church, what this is really like? There's that scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and this is what he says about the church. From him, the whole body, are you part of a whole body, is joined and it's firmly knitted together. And as it does that, as they're firmly knitted together, there is a life flow. And when every part is working properly, what happens? It causes that body to go. How many have felt like you are a hand, but you've got no joint to be able to function in? You've got no muscles. You're not joined. And I just really think how many loose limbs are floating around today because they are not joined. And because they're not joined, there's no life flow, and because there's no life flow, they are not growing, and because they're not growing, they are not maturing, and they're not becoming what God has ordained you to become. A scripture that's very similar, and you'll know this one too, in 1 Corinthians 12, you can easily see how the body has many parts, but you're still one body. And why is it, he says, so he said, say goodbye to your partial and piecemeal lives, because God has so designed the body that every part is dependent on the other. And he says, why has he done that? Why am I dependent on you? Why am I dependent on your life flow? So that no one of you could say, I have no need of you and I do not belong. How has God arranged the church? So that not one of you can say you are not needed or that you do not belong. And as you actually, that word came about loneliness. Loneliness is such a dearth today. But should that be? And as I said, I couldn't have made it without friends. And I remember very early in my walk with God, I said, oh God, I would love some more friends. And he that would want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. You've got to start out. You've got to have a desire. You've got to break out of your box. But I tell you, God has not ordained or destined you to be one that stands alone, because we will not make it in this kind of a day. And so we are connected for a life and a purpose. We are, can I say this? You are absolutely useless when you are alone. Do you know what you are? You are just an ornament. Who wants to be that? Do you want to be just someone sitting that people think, well, isn't she amazing? No, she's not. Because there's no life flow. She won't remain like she is at the moment unless she's truly, truly connected. And then I just love the partnership that God is bringing together. It's a joint partnership, not only of nations, not only a Jew and Gentile, but men and women together. And Lynn, I love your book on Eve and it says that when God created a woman, he created her, and the word meant she was a woman of equal strength, a strong helper like God, one who stands alongside and fights on our behalf. And the word that they use is one of military strength. And so I want, as I speak, as God is raising up men, and he's been doing that, he's been raising up women, but it's not an either or, it's a partnership that he is establishing. And why is he establishing that? Because we are in a war. I love that he actually said that, you know, that it's used in a military kind of a context, because we are in a war. And actually, just there was a picture that I had that my son is in Washington at the moment, or was until yesterday, and he sent this amazing picture of the Marines in Washington. They said this is one of the most moving monuments in Washington. And what is it depicting? It's depicting a team of men so connected, so focused. And what they are doing, they're putting a stake in the ground. They are claiming what the nation has declared that it will be theirs. And I feel like that's a tremendous picture, that God wants us to be so united together that we are really putting a stake in the ground for what we are believing breakthroughs for. We are believing breakthroughs to see God manifest who he is. We are believing for the miracles and the wonders. We have been praying, oh God, make yourself known. And how does he do that? Not based on first and foremost what we say, but because of what he does. What was it that opened up cities? What was it that opened up Philippi? It was because they saw the miracles. And I just love what God has put on Sally and Wayne's heart. It's not only miracles, but you know, church and young people, we need new encounters. We do not need to say this is what God is like. Oh, we want you to experience what he's like. And I am just so grateful for the encounters that he is really causing us to really know and know him better. And when we come, as he tells us, okay, if we are in an army and he's given us weapons, he said they're not to fight against one another. But you know where those weapons are mighty? Not in combat. Sometimes you'd like them to be, but you know, it's mighty before God. So when I see that in Ephesians, the army of the living God, I've often thought, okay, where is that relevant? And I'm not going into that, but it's mighty before God in that place of prayer. And I know that, you know, that sometimes I can be praying and you see me as a loud prayer, but prayer isn't always loud. It was interesting, I felt a little bit of a weight and a contending on Friday when I was thinking of this message. And I came and I was thinking about, I'd prayed out loud and prayed out, and my smartphone went tingle, tingle, tingle. In other words, you were above 90 decibels. But that's okay. Sometimes you have to shout. And not be so pathetic, and that's not my nature. But you know, and I was just thinking about it, I thought, Lord, I've done that. And then I was thinking about Psalm 68, and it declared, let God arise. And when God arises, do you know what he said? That he will vanish like, the enemy will vanish like what? A puff of smoke. So do you know what my warfare went from the shouting to? And he went like a puff of smoke or like wax before a burning fire. And sometimes it doesn't have to be loud and complicated. But oh God, there's so many various ways where God wants to establish his authority and his reign in our hearts. Before he establishes it in the city, before he establishes it in the church, he has to establish it in my heart. In my heart. You know, there's several scriptures that talk about the army of God. And I just wanted to allude to two. Because what God was wanting to bring together didn't look like that at the beginning. And that's a wee bit like Ezekiel 37, and you know it so well, where Ezekiel was, God gave him a vision, and he saw a valley of dry bones. And the definition of those valleys, that they were dry. They were scattered, they were isolated, and they were in a valley. And you know what that speaks to me of? Of something that was. Something that there was life, but there's no life now. Something that was connected, but now it's isolated. Something that was born to be and go in the mountains, and here it is in a valley. And sometimes our lives can feel like that. And so what did the Lord command Ezekiel to do? He said, you command me that they begin to stand up. And I think sometimes as we're praying for people, we can actually stand up. And as they stood up, all of those bones, if you can imagine it, what came together was a man, was the form of a person, a body connected. And not only was it a body connected, and the Spirit of God moved again, and that man that God connected, and I think this is sometimes as a church, as God brings us into a connection, the move of the Holy Spirit comes again, and as he began to move, what did that man become? An army like the army of the living God. And I just so, I have such a sense that that army is coming together where we are. But it has to be, first of all, something in your heart. Oh, God, move upon us again. But, you know, I love the one in 1 Samuel 22. And I just think this is amazing. Because in this thing, David had an assignment to train and raise an army. And where did the army come from? Oh, this was one of my husband's mandates, really, to raise up men. They were 1 Samuel 22. There came to him men that were in distress, discontented, in debt, or as one translation said, people that felt like they were out of luck, that God really wasn't working on their case. And they became a mighty army. But let's step back and think, David, how did he work with people that were like that? How do you work with people who are in debt? How do you work with people that are in distress? How do you work with them when they're in that position? I thought, wow, what a church. What a church, if that's what it's made up of. But often that's what church is, until God begins to breathe upon us. And the very first thing that he did, we saw it, he began to take command. And that's one of the essentials of being in an army, that our lives are submitted, that our lives are surrendered. And I love a song, and it's a shame that it doesn't convey the right message. I did it my way. I love that music. But the message is, no, I do it my way. No, it's not my way. It's God's way. And my husband used to love the battle. He was like the ostrich that Job speaks of. He was like the ostrich, the horse pouring in the battle. And he was actually smoking because he couldn't wait to get to the battle. But that wasn't me. You know, I was more like the ostrich. I wanted to bury my head in the sand and I'd say, tell me when it's all over. I'm ready for action then. But do you know what? Those two different positions, who grew and who matured? I pulled my head up the same. But Peter was ready to go on to the next one. And I think instead of trying to avoid the battles, let's embrace them, knowing who is in control, knowing who is our commander. And I just really amazed that David so what he really made those people. They were so trained. I just wanted to step back a bit and said, how was it that he became the leader, the motivator? And we know the story so well of David and Goliath. You know, when was that battle won? It wasn't won when David encountered Goliath. It was won in the backside of the desert. When he overcame the lion and the bear, when he overcame the offenses, when he overcame of being overlooked by his brothers, when he overcame and said, you are not significant, when he overcame the fact, who do you think you are? When he overcame the fact that they thought he was too young. And all those offenses were like water on his duck's back, because more real to him, who is this Goliath who dares to defy the armies of the living God. And I think we need a bit of indignation when we see the way things are happening today. Are you just letting it go? The thing that put a fight in me in those earlier days was when I saw what was happening to the devaluing of family. And you know, and of course, I it's amazing how I picked up, which was again contrary to my nature, picked up in obedience to the Lord to raise a standard. But you know, Nehemiah said, fight for your families, fight for those things that are going against what God has created and what God has valued. And I think God wants to put a bit of fight in you, a bit of fight in you, or a bit of indignation. Maybe you can give me some more adjectives. But you know, he overcame in the backside of the desert. And what are you facing today? Do you know what? The heart of God is not for you to be overcome, but to know what it is to be an overcomer. And there's another aspect of warfare, which I didn't intend to go into, because I was thinking about it actually only this morning. Jesus had a group of men, and they weren't all that great to start with either. You look back at their histories, look back at their personalities, and they were coming to a place where Jesus was about to go, and they were beginning to sense that things were going to change. They'd heard Jesus say, I'm not going to be around. They didn't understand what that meant, but they began to think, okay, Jesus, if you're not going to be around, who's going to be our leader? And so this was what they was in their hearts and their minds, and I could imagine the discussions they would have had in between themselves, which was causing not a greater connectedness, but a disconnectedness. Who's going to be the leader? And then they come to this event where Jesus said, I want you to go and prepare a Passover. And not only did he do that, as they prepared the meal, and this has actually probably been a life message. Though I haven't preached since I was in Nigeria with you, Sally. But you know, in this midst of upheaval, in the midst of, and as that scripture said in Psalm 46, when there was a tottering, when things were going to change dramatically, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to us? I don't know if you wake up sometimes in the morning. I wake up each morning and say, I thank you, God, I've got one more day to be alive. And at my age, you need to be grateful. I've got some things I want to see before I pass on. But I'm grateful for the gift of today. But the disciples, they had given everything, and things were going to dramatically change. And here they are sitting, taking this meal. And then Jesus gets up. And the disciples begin to think, what is he going to do now? And they were also more alarmed when he stepped over and to pick up, disrobe, and pick up a basin of water. And they thought, oh, what is he going to do now? And then he comes and kneels before his disciples. And he begins to wash their feet, the most humbling thing you can ever experience. And as he washed their feet, he didn't just say, oh, I cleanse you from the feet that's gathered on your feet today. But he said, oh, he would, every disciple, he would say, oh my God, I thank you for this man. I thank you for this one that you've raised up. I thank you for the way he's followed me through. I thank you that he's gone through incredible battles. I thank you that he's paid a price. But I thank you that he's still here with me today. And he would raise up the feet of that disciple and say, oh God. And I thank you, not only have you prepared him for this day, but Lord, you are preparing him for a future that he has not idea what he's about to walk in. And I say that prophetically. God is about to usher us into a day that we have absolutely no idea of what we are going to walk in. And he knows the chaoticness. He knows the struggles. He knows, and I just love this thing, this was a leadership call. Here was the leader washing their feet. And then he comes to Peter. I think I would have been like Peter. Oh, there's no way, no way, no way are you going to wash my feet. And the Lord says, Peter, inasmuch as I have done this to you. Actually, before that, he says, Peter, if you don't allow me to do this, you'll have no part of me. Do you know, it's one thing, there's a grace to give, but do we have a grace to receive? I just loved what Richard was sharing. One of the values of the sons and fathers is meekness. And meekness is not a lack of strength. It's strength under control. And in humility, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, knowing that they should have been washing his feet, but here he stoops and washes theirs. And then he says to Peter, if you don't do this, you will have no part of me. And then Peter says, okay, wash me all over. Isn't that the extreme? And Jesus said, no, just let me wash your feet. And the Lord did. And then he said, as I have done this to you, you go out and do that. In other words, in that spirit of humility, you go and serve. As I have shown you what it is to be a servant, I want you to become that. And what did he do? He dealt with what was on the inside. You imagine, and I've been in services like this, there was just a whole new connectedness where my heart became clean, where I let go of a striving, where I let go, it didn't matter who was in charge. It didn't matter who was the boss, except my life and my walk was surrendered to him. And I truly believe as Jesus washed their feet, he was healing a striving. He was putting faith in their hearts. He was preparing them for a new future. And sometimes I just love the way God does that. Because the future ahead, I genuinely believe this, we're going to need what it is to be vitally connected. Vitally connected. And I also just love what that Proverbs 20:31, which some is a woman's nightmare, but it's not like that. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of a partnership. And it's just, and I just love the word that it uses that. It's a metaphor for the church. It's the same word that's used for valiant men. And I have so sensed in my heart that when you are weak, what do you do? Let the weak say something. What are you going to say? Oh, I am so weak. Oh, this isn't weak. No, let the weak say. Did you feel strong? No. Did you feel that that was the truth? No. But what did your truth become? It became what came out of your mouth. And I just really so believe that this bride of Christ, that Jesus is, she is no pushover. She's no fairy. She is like the armies of the living God. And I so thank God that he is our source of strength. I so love it that, you know, the children have a part of that too. Now, do we go into communion? Because I really, you know, in this partnership, there's another beautiful scripture. God has called us to be connected. In Isaiah 65, it says 8, the new wine is found in the cluster. The new wine is not found in a grape. It's found in the cluster. It's found in your togetherness. And if you've got a value for togetherness, if you've got a value for connectedness, then what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to refuse to let offenses, refuse to let disappointment, let anything that connects you from the body, you are going to have to face. And sometimes that's confrontation, and who likes that? I'd rather run, but sometimes God says, no, you confront this. Because let's cause what have we create over one another an open heaven. We create over one another a flow of relationships. We create over one another a sense, I care more about you than what you think about me. Because I am so desirous that every one of you make it into all that God has. And we declare that over our children. We declare that over our families. And I so thank God. I just love Romans 12. He said, as we present our lives to him, he changes us from the inside out. And God brings out the very, very best in you. Are you amazing that God put his hand on you? I am genuinely surprised that God put his hand on me. I'll never know why. I would have never enough virtues or grace for him to even think, yes, she'd be a good candidate. It's his grace and his mercy. And I say, Lord, I'll never know why you put your hand on me. I will never know. I actually thought I would be a missionary in South Africa, South America, hidden and unknown. I literally became the opposite. Still had the missionary. But why? Because what makes you and puts you in a position is not your gender, is not who you think you are, it's the call of God. And you know, we all have a significant call. And sometimes the most valuable call is not to be up front, but it's behind the scenes. Lord, I am here as your servant today. So as we take communion, Grant, I'm not sure if we've got a... I just think communion is a beautiful thing because it's a weapon of war. Do you know what this communion does? It actually is a declaration of the victory that Christ has won for us. And I just really think, I think God, he wants us to remember what we've been born for. He wants us to know, receive an impartation of who he is. He wants us to realize we are not insignificant. There's a call of God on our lives. And sometimes we put the call of God and think it's away out there. No, the call of God today, what is that in my life? It's to serve. It's to be his hands. It's to be connected. And oh, Father, I just really thank you for the communion. Do you know communion is also assessing of relationships? Assessing, do I have something? He said, if you do, the essence of that is to forgive. The essence of that is to refuse to remain disconnected. And sometimes that's a big call, but it isn't when you think there's a bigger price to pay. This is a wonderful declaration of his victory over my life and a declaration over what he has done over the enemy. And I just love the thought, oh God, you are preparing a church that will not only be a bride, but she's a bride in combat boots. She knows what it is to tread upon all the aspects of the enemy. And instead of us being overwhelmed by wickedness, we can say, oh, my God reigns. This is who my God is. This is who my God is. And I want you just to think for a moment, who is your God? What is he? Who do you believe that he is? Who do you believe that he will become? Oh my God, what a day to be alive. Don't waste your life. Don't live carelessly. Because this is the day we'll wake up one morning and it will be very different. Are we prepared? Are we ready for whatever? So that circumstances will not determine who I am. Circumstances will not determine who I shall become. Because my hope and my trust is in the living God. And I am part of his army, an army that's connected, an army through whom the life of Jesus Christ is flowing. And oh God, may we really be in that place where we are so connected. And connected, I mean, we're just not sitting one to another. But God, you'll infuse heart connections. So shall we stand together as we take this? Oh God. Lord, I thank you that your bread is a declaration that we are one body. And even though we can look at all the divisions and all the divides, but Lord, I lift my eyes to the cross today. And I so thank you that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, there's no division. You came to reconcile, you came to reconnect, you came to bring us into a realization of who you really, really are. But most of all, you came to connect us to the heart of the Father. And Father, as I take this bread today, it not only speaks of forgiveness of sins, but healing of our bodies. The healing power of Jesus Christ, body, soul, and spirit. And Father, this isn't just something we call or talk about. We thank you for the manifestation of greater miracles, of greater expressions of the power of God, of greater expressions where we see the kingdom of God literally being extended and realized on this earth. So we take this today in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. And oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. How I marvel. How I marvel that it brings the greatest connection in all the world. It brings me back into a connection with my Heavenly Father. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. It opens the way that I can come so boldly before you. And Father, I'll never have enough words or enough expressions of gratitude that you broke down that wall. I just want to say thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. It wars for me today. As we pray for our families, as we pray for our city, as we pray for our nation, as we pray for the nations, we just speak Jesus and the precious blood of Jesus Christ to prevail in your wonderful name. Oh, let's take it with a new conviction, with a new value of connectedness. And God, may a new connectedness be realized in our own lives, a new openness, a new vulnerability, a new transparency. That, Father, we feel very deeply for one another. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, let it be. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I truly believe we not only say we love one another, but there's an explosiveness of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, that we cannot do anything else because you have touched the very core of our being, and we know what it is to very deeply and intentionally love. We know and know what it is to walk through suffering together. We know what it is to lift one another up. We know what it is to be friends who love you first and foremost. And Father, as we think of the harvest out there, one of the most attractive things is our connectedness, because they will know that we love one another. And I just really pray that we'll choose to walk in that way. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, let it be. May there come healing to families, Lord. In your precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, church, I want you to experience the value, the wonder. And you might not always like people, but you are called to love them. Sometimes the difference, but that love just absolutely bypasses. And maybe the most valid and most wonderful expression. We love him, we love you, because he first loved us. And there'll be times when I am strong, but there are times when I need to be strengthened. There'll be times when I need to be carried. But isn't it wonderful to know that I'm in a body? I'm connected. And as we talk about the harvest, what are we bringing them into? We're not bringing them in to be orphans. We're bringing them into a family, to be adopted into a family who loves, into a family who cares. May each one of us be part of that in these amazing days. In Jesus, amazing. I am so grateful for this fellowship. I thank you for the many friendships. And I wouldn't have made it where I am today without having people who will pray, not only pray for, but pray with. And I just really ask that you will be so connected that the life of God will flow in miraculous ways through each one of you as you take up that place that God has. In Jesus' name. Amen.